Blog Talk Radio. everyone. This is Cecilia. I'm on my phone, and of course, I'm here in San Antonio, and I'm having issues with my internet. So if you notice, I have not opened up your lines for you to communicate with me. That is why. So the engineer is here, and he's working on resetting the routing, and hopefully that'll fix it. And if not, then just know that I won't be able to open up the line so that you can communicate with me. But what I was going to do was I was going to have Minister Sylvia, Minister Sheila, open up the line for us, but I realized that still would not work because they would not be able to open up the line. All they would be able to do is to call in and do the same thing that I am currently doing because they don't have access to the particular, it's not really a modem as much as it is the process. And so in order to do that, you usually need a laptop. You need to be able to sign in to the particular website. And so I thank God that we're able to open up this morning. Anyhow, anyway, where there is a will, there is a way. And so we know that I am definitely on here. And so we're going to get started. So, you know, we've been dealing with a lot of things, and a lot of you know that this is the birthday month of Minister Sylvia had a birthday last month. I have one this month, and then we have Minister Sheila. She has one next month. So we are in that three-month thing of birthdays. So because of that, I've been celebrating with Minister Sylvia and also Minister Sheila and myself. So I have 3 months of celebration where at this point I am in San Antonio. Last time we met, it was Minister Sheila. She ministered to you all and with you all while we were in Puerto Rico. So I thank God for that. I'm going to quickly do a prayer, and then I'll get into some of the scriptures that we have for today. Father God, we glorify you and we magnify you. We thank you for being holy. We thank you for being righteous. We thank you being our true and living God. We thank you that you've given us traveling mercy. You've given us the ability to pray for one another, to encourage one another, to bless one another, to be a charitable people, not only in giving in love and not only in giving in things, but giving of our time. So I thank you for the time that you've given us. I thank you for the ministry that you've given us. I thank you for the people that you've given us to encounter. But most of all, I thank you for being our God, a God that loves us unconditionally, a God that understands us, a God that allows us to be human even in the midst of perfecting us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I pray for Minister Margot. I pray for Minister Sheila. I pray for Minister Sylvia, Pastor Troy. I pray for Prophet Antoine. I pray for Dr. Serena Wright. I pray for Reverend Lawrence. I pray for Minister Brandon Kaiser. But most of all, God, I pray for your people, that they'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the field, that they'll be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And God, that they'll allow you to give us a way of escape, escape from those things that will try to cause us to be mentally challenged, that will try to cause us to be financially challenged, that will try to cause us to be a people that don't walk in the joy of the Lord. That's our strength. Thank you for being our strength, and thank you for being our way maker. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So, as many of you, being one of the postings that I had put on Facebook, and it was about, you know, just learning how to give God the praise, and no matter what you're going through, because there's somebody that's worse off than you. There's many that are better off than you as well, but there's many that are worse off than you. So we have so much that we can give him praise for. So I want you to take an opportunity right now to just pause and think about your life and all of the things that you could thank God for. Take an opportunity to thank him for your sisters, your brothers, your aunts, your uncles, your education, your friends in school, acquaintances that you still have, that person that was in need that you were able to help, whether they were a person that was choking or whether it was a person that was just having a hard time and they needed you to give them a word of encouragement. So just thank God for everything and everybody that you've encountered. So take this Selah moment, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to, even if you have an ink pen and a piece of paper, to write it down. What are some of those things you have to be grateful for? I know you could probably write down all of the things that you are bothered by, but what are those things that you can be grateful for? Write down at least 10. Your health, your strength, your income, even if it's not what you want it to be, your education, your friends, your family, something as simple as your breathing, the parents that you had. That's a blessing. Someone didn't have a parent or know their parents, but you have the ability to think back on that parent, whether you're adopted or whether it was just someone that is your spiritual parent. Just think about it. Write it down, and I'm going to give you a minute to write it down, and then I'm going to begin speaking again. So I'm going to put you on pause. So you may say, I need more than a minute to write it down. Well, take more than a minute. Okay? So pause and write it down. Okay. I'm back. I gave you time to write it down, and maybe you'll be able to text it to me, and then I can say what you wrote, or maybe you'll be able by the end of the program to be able to send it to me. I'm not quite sure, but I know that I know that I know that I know. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, not only does my soul cry out, but my lips and my tongue cries out. My heart cries out. Everything about me cries out. So I can think of the oxygen that I'm grateful for, that I can actually properly exchange it because somebody can. When I think that I can walk around and go from point A to point B, somebody can. When I think about the food that I'm able to digest, somebody can't. When I think about my brothers and my sisters and my aunts and my uncles and my sisters and brothers that are spiritually my sisters and my brothers. When I think of the education that the Lord has allowed me to have. When I think of even the fact that somebody would call this negative, but the ability to take out loans to get the education. Yeah, I'm still paying it back, but somebody does not even have the ability to take out the loan because of a critical incident that happened in their lives, whether it was something dealing with crimes or whatever. They can't even do things for an education. When I think about growing up on Walnut Street, when I think about going here and there all over the world with the military. See, things that I can thank God about. When I think about going into the combat zone and coming back out with all of my limbs, when I think about all of the drive-bys and the people that got shot standing right next to me, in front of me, behind me, oh, my God. When I think about how all of the people were in car accidents, but God allowed me to swerve to the left or to the right to miss it, or even the times when I was in a car accident and they told my whole family to be ready that I was going to be a vegetable for the rest of my life. Ah, Dabasi. Hey, God, Abasha. God gave me a way of escape over and over and over again. Think about the things he gave you a way of escape from. That person that tried to mentally torment you. But God said, leave him or her alone thereby. Get your mouth off of them. Get your very thoughts off of them. I mean, even on today, if I think of Matthew 17 and 21, it says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. The Amplified Version says, but this kind of demon does not go out except by fasting and praying. When I think of Mark 9 and 29, that says, so he said to them, this kind come out by nothing but prayer and fasting, King James Version. Then when I read it again and in another version, it says, and he answered and said, there is no way to get rid of this kind of demon except by prayer. And then think about the power of prayer in itself. I can even go on. Let me share a few more verses with you. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 Amplified Bible says, no temptation, regardless of its source, has taken or enticed you that is not a common to human experience, nor is any temptation unusual and beyond human resistance. But God is faithful to his word, and he is compassionate and trustworthy, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. But along with the temptation, he has in the past and is now will always provide you a way out as well, so that you will be able to endure it without yielding and will overcome temptation with joy. That is something to thank God about. Do you hear me? That's something to thank God about. That this temptation come and that temptation could come, but God gives us the ability to escape it. Not an excuse to hold on to it, but the ability to escape it. I remember when Minister Margot was speaking on this past week, and I heard her transparency, and it was just blessing me. And God reminded me of the times when I was very timid, and I would allow people to walk all over me and do various things, and then God used Apostle Sandra Thomas to talk to me about my timidity. And then I went from that extreme to this one person. They had hurt me so to when I responded, they said to me, they said, your tongue was poisonous. They said, your tongue made me feel like I had been bitten by a poisonous snake. Ah, God, how about I say? I remember I wasn't saved at the time, but at that time, even though I meant what I said and I said what I meant, I felt like I had did something so wrong. And even in my unsaved state, in my backslidden state, because I had gotten saved at a young age, I said, God, help me. God, help me, for I was tempted to be so angry that I was saying stuff to them that was so mean, and I realized that it was not out of fear, false evidence appearing real, but it was out of me feeling that I was justified in what I had to say to them because they deserved it. And I realized of all the times and the things that I've deserved something, God never, ever gave me what I deserved.
And so although biblically a temptation means a situation in which one experiences a challenge to choose between fidelity and infidelity to one's obligation towards God, a temptation is something you want to have or to do, even though you know you shouldn't. Oh, God, help me today, because I knew I shouldn't have did what I did. But see, there's some things I remember Apostle Sandra Thomas teaching us, that sometimes we have things we want to hold on to and we want to make excuses for holding on to them. And I realized that I had been hurt by so many people and so many people taking my charity and love and just abusing it, that I wanted to do that. And so I had to ask God, God, take this desire from me to want to. Take this desire from me to want to lash out. But see, if you've been walked over and manipulated and controlled for so many years, there's a type, I'm talking about Cecilia now, not you, but there's a type of satisfaction that one could gain from finally being able to lash out at those did me wrong. See, a desire to have or to do something that you know you should avoid is a test. It's a test. It's a test from God. Why do you still want to do? Why are you still holding on to that thing, Cecilia? Well, let's talk about temptation and the desires to hold on to them. Is it that I was holding on to it because the world had taught me the indifference and the opposition of God's design, the emptiness, the lack of values? That's one reason. Or is it because of some type of fleshly desire or disorder or corrupt inclination that I've developed? Whether it's gluttony, sexual immorality, or just doing things that I'm just saying, you know, that's an excuse we use, or they deserve that. Or is it that we have to be honest, that we've submitted our personal desires to the fallen angel, to the father of lies, to the accuser of the saints? Well, pride is something that's self-driven. It teaches you that, you know, don't allow them to shame you. Don't allow them to be superior over you. Don't allow them to see your flaws. Don't allow them to see your shortcomings. Don't allow them to relish in criticizing you. Don't allow them in their self-righteousness to try to tell you what you are and they not. Well, believe it or not, some people have pleasure in pain. So it's an excuse, it's not an escape. So at that time that I gave you, I was having pleasure in getting them back. I was having pleasure in getting them told. I was indulging in the pleasure of knowing that they could not hurt me anymore because I was hurting them. So somebody don't want to be transparent on today. And they may be listening on the World Wide Web and saying, that's not me. Well, it was me. Remember, I'm being transparent and I'm letting you know that I have this shortcoming of it was all bottled up in me. It was all just ready and just saying, it went from one to two to three. I didn't go to zero to 100 quickly, but it was something that was building up to 50% explosion, 60% explosion. And then when it got to 100%, whoop, it came out. And that 100% of pain and misery that I had been was now a response. And whether that response was because I was in pain, or whether the response was because I was tired, or whether that response was because I was anxious, or whether that response was because I was agitated, or whether that response was because someone was doing whatever that caused me to have this type of gratification of the pleasure of being to be appropriated and hurting someone. Well, I thank you that the Lord has reminded us that the Lord takes a pleasure in his people. And the pleasure that God takes in me is not when I allow my flesh or what the world has taught me to do or say, because they love to gram every place. I'm just saying, but what is God saying? God is saying, look to the hills for what comes your help, for your help comes from the Lord. God is saying, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is saying, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. God is saying that he will stand with you and take pleasure in you. He will give you the counsel that you need. God is saying, when you're going through a range of human emotions of wants and desires and cravings, when you're going through things that cause you to stray away from God, whether it's even gluttony or whatever it is, he can show you how to delight in him, to seek him, my God, to desire God, to submit and yield to God, to know that his desires and our fleshly desires don't line up. Because the world teaches us about the will and the pleasantries of life, the greeds in life, the densities of life, the desirabilities of life, the lust of eye, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the longing. But see, God can get us to a place that's a continual perfecting place. Because, I don't know, some of you may already be perfected. Some of you may already, you know, have this, as they say, this thing taken care of. Well, I don't. So I have to go to God and let him know about those desires to get people back. I had went on this trip, and I was watching and listening to this young lady. Every time I said something, she said something. If I was talking about how good God had been to me and promoted me to this or that, she wanted to talk about somebody that had did it with her. If I was talking about how good my brother or my sister, she wanted to talk about how good they were to her. If I was being good to someone that was in the group, she wanted to talk about what she did with them in the group. And it was like a competition. And then God allowed me to see, although she was as beautiful as she was very insecure. And I said, God, if she came on this trip because she was trying to pour into certain people, competing with me is not going to help her, because I've fallen short of the glory of God so many times. I've pressed towards the mark of the high calling so many times. I've fallen and gotten back up so many times. So if her mark of competition is me, God compared to you, that's pretty low. Not saying that God hasn't done great things in my life, but I'm saying if we want to press towards the mark of the high calling and we want to compare ourselves to something and someone, let it be Jesus. Because when we look at the things of God and the Christ-like attitudes and the Beatitudes and things that we need God to help us with, he can perfect them. Because Cecilia has issues. Cecilia has problems. Yet, I can say that I'm blessed. Yet, I can say that God has promoted me to here and to there, but yet, I am in no comparison to God. Because if you compare yourself to me, there's no heaven or hell that I can put you in. But if you compare yourself with God, he shows you how much you need him, how much you need him to perfect you, how much you need him to love you, how much you need him to deliver you. I don't know. Think of something that you need God to deliver you from. Okay, did you think of something or something? Well, I'm going to be transparent on today. I need God to deliver me from not saving like I used to save when it comes to finances. I still, you know, do save, but there's, I could always do much better. I need God to help me to not have those moments, because I still have them. I may not react to them all the time where I want to get someone told. I'm just being honest about Cecilia. I have those moments when I'm trying to figure out, after all the Lord has done through me to bless somebody, how could they be envious and jealous of God using me when they have not been through the things that I've been through? I haven't been through the things you've been through. But I've been through the war zone and the things that happened in the war zone. I've been separated from my family for so long. I wasn't there when my mother died. I wasn't there when my mother was sick. I wasn't there when family members got married. I wasn't there for a lot of things that I know that if I hadn't have went away to the military, I would have been there for. I missed a lot of graduations and weddings. Not saying that I was invited to all of them. I'm just saying I missed them because I wasn't even in the vicinity to be able to come to them. It may sound like something small to you, but I have a friend that I'm here visiting in the San Antonio area that when I was in the military at my first duty station, she made sure I ate. She made sure that I didn't want for anything. I was a young girl in my 20s, and she's at least 20 years. No, not quite 20, but close to 20 years older than me. Family member. She was just someone that was looking out for me, who God put in my life. And now I find myself, along with a young lady I call my little sister Mia, going to visit her because she's getting older. She has tremors and different things that she's dealing with. And it's like a love for her as though I owe her something, but I owe her to love her. And the more I spend time with her, the more I love her even the more. The more I love her husband even the more. Because I realized during those young years that I was away from my family, that although she was trying to play Cupid, I have to bring that part up too. Although she thought she could help me get a husband, I don't know why she thought that was her job. Although she tried to play Cupid for me, most of the time she just wanted to make sure that I had somewhere to go if while I was on base, if things were too hard, me and my play little sister. And so when I think about the things that I have to be grateful for, that God gave me an escape, See, there are some people that use that excuse to try drugs and alcohol and things of that sort. And like it or not, I do have that as a hereditary factor because I did have a parent that drank and I did have a parent that had anger issues. So there are some things that were hereditarily learned and imparted in me without me even knowing it until I started behaving just like them. We oftentimes, amongst my sisters, will say something funny like, don't let them pull a Hudie. And so basically what that was is saying, our dad, when he knew how to get to you and say whatever he needed to say. So sometimes we all have a type of self-centeredness that we don't even realize we need to be delivered from. And so we have to ask God, God, give me a desire to put you first, to put my loved ones first. God, give me a desire to make my greatest desire to please you. See, he's given us a way of escape where we don't have to just wallow in our self-righteousness. We don't have to just wallow in our pity. We don't have to just wallow in these various things. And so when I have to go back to Minister Margo and Minister Sylvia, when they were speaking, and I was like, God, the things that they're preaching about are the things that you've given me to speak about. So should I not speak on them? Because they've already spoken on them, God. So you've given me this, and you've given me more and more and more to talk about. And he said, no. I need you to see that sometimes the messages that I give you, they're not only going to be interlinked. They're not only going to be something that I'm dealing with the church about. They're not only going to be things that I'm dealing with a people about, but they're going to be things that I'm saying to you that in this season, in this very season, this is important to me. And when I saw different people getting off for crimes, that if it was an African-American person, they would have been thrown at the bottom of the jail. And I saw people getting angry and people acting out and fighting one another. But I didn't see nobody praying. I said, I didn't see it. You may have saw it. But they were giving themselves excuses for acting out. They weren't praying. They weren't putting legislations in place to protect a generation and a people of color. But they were out there rioting and doing things of that sort. What about if we marched? What about if we had prayer vigils? What about if we went to our congressmen and our aldermen and all of these politicians' houses and we prayed and we laid down the lives of those people that were murdered due to racism? And then it was being rewarded in the courtroom. What about if we let God be God? See, when we talk about protection, my sister Renee, Minister Sylvia, nobody ever, 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 ever tried to protect me the way she did. And when my mom and dad let us know to take care of one another, she took that thing seriously. I said, God, if there was an earthly archangel, my mama, I think her name was Sylvia. And I'm not saying this to be funny. I mean serious. When I saw how she took protecting me as a duty, I knew that I knew that I knew. If this earthly vessel can protect me like this, my God, what are the angels in heaven doing? Glory to God. I mean, I know the angels in heaven won't beat up the wrong person like she did sometimes. But I tell you, she took that thing and she took it to heart. And even now, when she prays for us, whether it's Minister Margo, or she's praying for me, or she's praying for Minister Sheila, she takes that thing to heart, asking God to protect us and to cover us and to decode and expose those things that are trying to injure us, and for God to preserve us and for God to secure us. And when Minister Margo is being transparent about the various things that God not only may be delivering her from, but is helping her to understand the various things in life that she's experienced. And then we understand that even when Minister Sheila was ministering, that she was understanding that in the Bible that stuttered. There's people in the Bible that were unlearned. There were people in the Bible that had this struggle or that struggle, and God used them. So God can use Cecilia, and God can use Sheila too. It's not an excuse, because the escape is the Word of God, to meditate on His Word day and night, and to talk about the things of God, the representatives of God, the writings of God, the people of God, the courts of God. See, what I love about God is He's given us example after example after example. Noah's escape was the ark. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. Elijah was given an escape from Jezebel. Mm-hmm. There was a mother, was in 2 Kings 11th chapter, that saw that this is what the Word of God says. Listen to this. She rose and destroyed all the royal offspring. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, sister of Jehaziah, took Joaz, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons who were being put to death, and placed him and his nurse in the bedroom. See, Moses was rescued, but did you know about that one? Mm-hmm. God made a way of escape even for another where they hid him. Just remember Rahab, she hid the spies. God will give you a way of escape. Mordecai and Queen Esther, who we know Haman tried to kill, God gave them not only a way of escape, but used the very gallows that Haman had set up for them. Daniel in the lion's den, God gave them a way of escape. My. The apostles that were in the jail, God gave them a way of escape. Jesus gave you and I a way of escape. Whoredom, I've been given a way of escape. Not an excuse. Anger, God has given me a way of escape. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The truth shall set me free. God has given me a way of escape. What has He given you a way of escape from? I know you have this or that you may think you don't need a way of escape because you're only being human. Well, how long will you use that excuse versus the escape? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Know that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If God's called you to preach, preach. Stop making excuses for, I don't speak so eloquently. I don't do this. I don't do that. I bring that up because I remember when Minister Sylvia first started ministering on the air. And I remember one of my leaders challenged me. I said one of my leaders challenged me and asked me, why was I constantly putting her on the air? And she would even talk about how she was learning and how this and that. And God reminded me that He chose her, not me. And I just needed to obey Him. And so that's what I told my leader. I said, I hear what you're saying, and I know that I'm accountable to you, but I beg your pardon, and I ask you to please allow me to obey God. she went and she prayed, and she came back and asked me to forgive her. And not only did she allow me to have Minister Sylvia pray for her and minister for her, she started asking her. She turned over her whole speaking thing to Minister Sylvia. So sometimes even leaders, we have to learn how to allow people to be out there more. So although you may feel like we're pushing you out there, we're only obeying God. And although you may have excuse after excuse, God is saying he gave you a way and escape. So if you haven't been ministering, but you've been connected to this ministry, heads up, God is calling you. He's put a word in your belly for the people. He wants you to pray for the people. He wants you to speak to the people. He wants you to anoint the people with oil. He wants you to know that you know that you know he has called you. He's called you to the world wide web. He's given you a way of escape. There's people that can minister on the airway, but they cannot minister in person. See, he's made a way of escape for you. He still wants you to minister. You may not stand before thousands, but there's millions of people that can hear you on the world wide web. Taking your voice to Africa. He's taking your voice to Asia. He's taking your voice to Europe. He's taking your voice to Belize. He's taking your voice to Dubai. He's taking your voice to Cuba. He's taking your voice to Mexico. He's taking your voice to Puerto Rico. He's taking your voice to France and Australia. He's taking you everywhere he needs for you to go in this season. And don't be surprised if you get an invite to actually go to those places, because God wants to use you. God wants to use you today, tomorrow, and in the future. You're never too old. You're never too young. And what I love about God is when you think you've missed 15 years of doing something, he knows how to redeem the time. Not only did he redeem us, he can redeem the time. So when you think about that thing, that situation that you've been saying God can't use you, or God won't use you, or I don't speak like so-and-so, you're not supposed to. There's somebody struggling with the same thing that you're struggling with that God wants to use, and he's going to use you as that walking epistle read of men. Moses had to be a stutterer because there was somebody that needed to see God could use even a stutterer. Ooh, my God. God knows that David was a murderer and an adulterer, but God wants the murderer and the adulterer to see that he can use them too. Yet, while you're in your sin, God will use you, and then once you're delivered, he will show those people all of the things and situations that you struggle with, that you'll be able to say, if God used me, he can definitely use you. There's many situations and circumstances that God wants to use each and every one of us in. Will you let him? Will you submit your all to God? Are you all in? Not that I need to hear you, but for some reason, I just heard in my spirit, I can't hear you. And it may not be me saying that, and I don't think it is. I think God wants to hear your confession that you're all in. Although I can't hear you on the World Wide Web today, God wants to hear it from your heart. You tell him that you're all in. It's not just lip service. God wants your mind, your body, your total being, every fiber of it, to say, God, I'm all in. No more sickness or diseases are going to keep me from you. No more attitudes is going to keep me from you. No more challenges or impediments are going to keep me from you. I'm going to preach your word. I'm going to speak your word in season and out of season. I'm going to thank you for even those very things that you're going to use to bring somebody else to you. From the north, the south, the east, and the west, they're going to hear you, and they're going to say, if God can use him or her, he can use me. If you haven't heard anything else on today, know that whatever that shortcoming was, all things, not some things, but God takes all things and uses them for his good. That thing that the enemy tried to tell you, no, God can't use you yet. You ain't delivered from such and such. God's going to use you because he's going to show them that when they were yet in sin, I used them. I delivered them from this. Keep on watching their lives and watch me deliver them from this, deliver them from that. When I look at Peter and when I look at Paul, the apostle, I see things that God was delivering them from continually. When I see the things of King David, I see things that God was delivering him from continually. When I see Moses, when I see Noah the drunkard, I see things that God was delivering him from constantly. I can look in the mirror and my, I definitely see things that God is delivering me from constantly. When I look in the spiritual mirror of God, my God, my God. When I look back over my life, I don't have to look back over anybody else's life, but when I look back over my own life and I see the things that God has delivered me from and is yet delivering me from, he's a strong deliverer. He's the captain of our salvation. Nobody can do us like Jesus. Amen and amen. So on this week, we have the awesome privilege of, we're going to talk about Sunday because today is Sunday. So even on next Sunday, the Lord will allow Minister Sheila, myself, Minister Brandon, if he's ever available, to come on the airway at 9:30 Central Standard Time, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time for Let's Talk. And then on Monday, guess what? This is the fourth Monday. What an awesome ministry on the fourth Monday. Marriage and relationships and family. Call a friend. If you have to, call a foe or two. Call everybody that you know and have them tune in for the awesome trio of Minister Sylvia, Minister Ron, and Mother Tony. Awesome! You think that you was blessed by Minister Margot and Pastor Troy and Dr. Serena Wright. Oh, my goodness. Join them. Join them. Awesome gifts that God has given us in Smile 3E. And they'll be on the air during Iron and Sharpening Iron at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then tune in for the tag team duel, Prophet Antoine and Minister Sylvia on Friday night at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, they'll be on the air. And although it can say this is the Friday for Prophet Antoine, and you get on there and it's Minister Sylvia or it's Minister Sylvia time, but it's Prophet Antoine, just know they're a dynamic duo. They're going to make sure that if one person has something to do, that the other person covers it. And that's what I love about Smile 3E. God has let us know that if you have something to do, I've got a ram in the bush. This is the ram in the bush ministry. I'm here to tell you. You don't ever have to worry about not having someone minister because God always has someone in store. So once again, Mal3E's foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, I really wish that I could hear what Minister Margot, Minister Sheila, Minister Sylvia, Pastor Troy, Prophet Antoine, Dr. Serena Wright, Reverend Lawrence, Missionary Montgomery, Minister. I wish I could hear what they had to say today about no excuses and God's giving them a way of escape, because I know they'd have some great things to share for us that God has given them. But know this, if God gives us a time, I'll let you know when, I'll have them, if they're willing to share those very things. Thank you all for listening in on today. Thank you all for praying for us. And please tune in on Monday night. Please tune in on Friday night. Please tune in on Sunday. And call a friend, call a foe, call a stranger, and let them know. Mal3E is on the air. So let's pray. Father God, we glorify, we magnify you. We thank you that everyone is blessed in the city and blessed in the field that have been aligned with Mal3E's ministries and even the other ministries that they have. Cause them to expand so that they can expound on the word of God and the love of God. Cause them to look to the hills for which cometh their help, for their help comes from the Lord. Cause them to compare themselves to you, Jesus, not to people. Because when we compare ourselves to you, we see the perfecting that we need. For when we compare ourselves to others, we can either be caught up in our egos or even walk in depression or whatever. But always, God, have us compare ourselves to you, because you have heaven and hell that we can be placed in and not one another. Cause us, God, to lift up one another, to encourage one another, to bless one another, not just financially, but bless one another in prayer, to bless one another in charity of love and time. Cause us to cherish the times that we have with one another. But we've lost so many that we didn't cherish the time to be with them. But God, I cherish every moment that you give me with my sisters and my cousins, my aunts and my uncles, whether they're spiritual ones or natural ones. Thank you for them all. And thank you for taking away our excuses and causing us to walk in the escapes that you've given us in and through your word and your love and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bye-bye. I love you all. Thank you, and I. Glory, glory, glory to you.